Welcome to a new season of Lennial Writes, the UX Research Lab. I am really excited to dive into this topic for this new season. The User Experience, or UX Research Labs, have been around since the 1990s, shaping the way we design and build products. I've spent the last 7 years as a UX researcher uncovering insights that drive user-centered decisions. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned UX professional, the UX Research Lab is here to help you refine your craft. Together, we'll explore what UX research is, when to apply it, how it's conducted, and why it's essential. Are you ready to dive in? Buckle up. Let's explore the world of UX research. Before I became a UX researcher in 2017, I was a lab manager. Microsoft has incredible usability labs spread across its campus, each unique in its own way. For nearly 9 years, I managed hardware and software for UX researchers, ensuring they had the tools needed to run user studies in a controlled environment. One day, a UX researcher allowed me to shadow them for a week. I was immediately intrigued by the work they did during the study. By the end of that experience, I was sold. The job didn't seem overly complex, and the pay was significantly higher than what I made as a lab manager. I learned that a bachelor's degree was the minimum requirement for a UX researcher role, so in 2015, I transferred to the University of Washington, Bothell. While working a full-time job, I took a mix of evening and daytime classes to complete my degree. In 2017, I graduated with a degree in community psychology, a milestone I was incredibly proud of. Balancing school and a graveyard shift at a help desk meant brutal, sleepless days, but in the end, it was worth it. Before I had even finished my last quarter at UW-Bothell, I landed my first UX research job as a contractor at Microsoft through an amazing local agency, All of Us, based in Gig Harbor, Washington. After my contract ended, I patiently waited for my next opportunity. That's when another agency came knocking with the role at Expedia. When people ask how I got into UX research, I often say the opportunity fell into my lap. I know that many of you listening are trying to break into the field, knocking on doors that never seem to open. Hang in there. We all wish jobs would land in our laps, but the reality is that persistence, patience, and preparation eventually open the right doors. That was a brief synopsis of how I got started in UX research, but this podcast isn't about my personal journey. My goal is to provide you with actionable insights and tangible takeaways. Each episode will offer a fresh perspective on the foundations of UX research and how to become the best UX researcher you can be. Think of it as an educational deep dive. Let's start with the fundamental question: who are UX researchers? At their core, UX researchers are scientists. And what do scientists do? They test hypotheses, gather data, analyze that data, and share their findings. Then their cycle repeats. Sound familiar? It should. This is the foundation of the scientific method, something we've been taught since elementary school. When I first became a UX researcher, the scientific method was drilled into my head. But I quickly realized that it wasn't just relevant to research. It was embedded in the entire product lifecycle. The same iterative process applies to UX teams across the board, from product and design to engineering. Beyond being scientists, our primary purpose as UX researchers is to understand user behavior. Why do people do what they do? Why do users instinctively click on one button when another option would get them to their goal faster? Why do they choose one product over another, even when that alternative is clearly more prominent? Why? Got the picture? We exist to uncover the why, and more importantly, to turn those insights into actionable recommendations. Let's break down the scientific method and translate it into how a UX researcher would approach it. The first step in the cycle is observation. For UX researchers, this often involves conducting contextual inquiries, field studies, or ethnographic research to observe human behavior in a natural environment. These observations drive the next step, formulating questions. These are the questions that arise from your observations. Who are these people? What happened here? How did they manage to do this or that? When in the flow does this happen exactly? Why are they reacting that way? These questions help you develop research questions, which should be clear, precise, and leave no room for ambiguity. When I formulate hypotheses, I'm making assumptions, and that's completely fine at this stage. Hypotheses are educated guesses based on our observations and research questions. For example, if users interact with feature X, we expect to see outcomes Y and Z. However, many product managers or product owners tend to jump straight to the hypothesis stage without completing the first two steps. I'll cover stakeholder management collaboration in another episode. As a researcher, you should write down as many educated guesses as possible based on your research questions. Don't be afraid to make assumptions. There are no right or wrong answers at this stage. You'll validate them in the next phase, which is experimentation. This is my favorite step, experimenting or testing. A lot of preparation goes into reaching this stage, and I'll cover how to create a solid research study plan in another episode. In this step, you test your research questions and hypotheses. Ideally, you conduct experiments in a controlled environment where you can minimize outside interference. However, with remote and unmoderated testing, control becomes more challenging. For example, a participant could be taking your remote unmoderated test while sitting on the toilet. In moderated testing, you have more control. As a researcher, you should ensure your own environment is free from distractions. No background noise, pets walking around, or unexpected interruptions. Control your environment. After completing your tests, whether remote or in person, it's time to analyze the data and draw conclusions. This is one of the most critical steps in UX research. If you fail to analyze your data accurately and without bias, your results lose validity. A common question I hear from researchers is, how do I know what data to include and what to leave out? The short answer, include everything. Start by revisiting your original research questions. They will guide you in extracting meaningful insights from the data. Sometimes you'll uncover unexpected aha moments, what I like to call gold nugget research findings. Scientists love this part, especially those from academic backgrounds. There's nothing like publishing your findings for the world to see. Okay, maybe that's an exaggeration, but for UX researchers, sharing results with stakeholders and teams is essential. In my early days, I used to document research findings in long Word documents until I realized no one has time to read 10 to 30 pages of research insights. PowerPoint presentations became my go-to method as they allow for concise storytelling. Other tools like Figma, Canva, and Keynote can also be effective. Personally, I stick with PowerPoint, but the best tool is the one that helps you communicate your findings clearly and effectively. Let's do a quick recap. I shared a bit about my personal journey into UX research, and we explored the scientific method, which is at the core of how UX researchers conduct research. I broke down each step of the method and explained how researchers apply them in today's industry. Oh, and one last thing. I almost forgot to mention this. In the scientific method, the cycle doesn't truly end. There's always a need for retesting and revalidating research findings. Traditional scientists follow this principle because a single successful experiment doesn't mean the results are definitive. Research requires retesting and refining to ensure accuracy and continuous improvement. I hope this episode was both helpful and educational. Whether you're a seasoned UX researcher or just starting out, it's important to always remember the foundations of UX research. We are the frontline warriors of user experience. Thank you for tuning into my podcast series, The UX Research Lab. I will be sharing valuable insights from industry experts in the future episodes. Be sure to join me for another episode of Lennial Writes. Until next time, stay curious.